Good morning, New Life Midtown. Good morning. I want to start off by commending you guys. You made it here to the 9 a.m. service on Spring Forward Sunday. Yeah, let's go ahead and stand together. We're going to lift up the name of our God together. We're going to worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Won't be quiet. It's good to be in the house of the Lord together. Amen. Amen. As we continue to worship, I want us to say this verse together. Okay. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Let's pause right there. What have you walked in with this morning? What are you worrying about? What are you caring about today? Carrying about and caring. Can we just hold whatever that is right here in this space? This is an opportunity to release that, to just keep our hands open, not grasping and grasping anything, but releasing to Jesus. He cares for us more than we care for ourselves. The thing we've walked in, he cares for it more than you. He sees it. Nothing surprises him. So Jesus, we give you our worry, we give you our care this morning. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. Amen. God, we thank you that you are our anchor this morning. No matter what, you anchor us in your word and your truth. So we cling to your promises that this morning, that you will restore, you will redeem, you will support, you will keep us, and we will remain firm on your foundation. And we say amen to that this morning.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I've built my on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail now? Come on. He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't. filled us. You're so faithful in every season. We count on you. We can count on you. You've never failed back then. You've never failed, God. And you're not failing right now. Yes, God, you've never failed us. 'Cause he won't.
Oh, you're faithful, God. Come on, just hang here for a second. Oh, you are faithful, God. A faithful Father. Peace.
Lord, would you teach us? Teach us to abide. It's what we were made for, but so often we are drawn by the magnetic pull of the world and the sinful flesh. Jesus, we need you to teach us how to remain. This morning I was rereading that passage in John 15:1. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And most of us in the room will have read that hundreds of times. And what occurred to me this morning was that Jesus is the true vine, and there are all kinds of fake vines that we are trying to attach ourselves to. And Jesus is saying, look, the only kind of attachment where there is actual life that flows from the roots of the plant are when you are attached to me. That those other plants might look appealing and you want to look like that. You think that's what you want. I think that's what I want so often. And Jesus says, but I am the true vine, the one through whom nourishment flows to you. And this song says that he is our song in the night. The thing about Jesus is, no matter how dry the season, no matter how dry the soil feels, no matter how cold the weather is, I am milking this metaphor, by the way. I mean, we are going there with this metaphor. No matter how freezing the weather is, Jesus is the vine that will never die. Jesus is the one who supplies us with life in every season. And so we pray this morning, Jesus, teach us to abide, not to live by our eyes, not to live by sight, where we will constantly be drawn away, pursuing all these other attachments and wanting to do all these other things, but teach us to abide in you. Teach us to abide in you. I felt also a very specific prayer for this morning. If you guys could throw up this verse from John 15, verse 11. We're just reading this one verse. Midway through this discourse, Jesus says, I have told you all this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. A couple of years ago, we were doing a series from the book of Proverbs, and Pastor Jade was on vacation, so I got assigned the sermon around how to finish strong, which the irony is I was probably 33 years old at the time. But I called a number of my mentors and people that I had lived with and done life with or worked with over the years. And one man I called, 75 years old at the time, had done ministry for 50 years. And I asked him the question, I said, what do you think is one of the keys to finishing strong? And he said, keep the joy of the Lord. So many people just end up doing the things and they forget why they're abiding in Jesus, why they are carrying the yoke of ministry. So I want to pray for you this morning that the joy of the Lord would be made complete in you. How many of you are in a place where you say, I could use a little joy of the Lord? No shame. Raise it up. Yeah. Always. Amen. Well, let's pray and let's believe that Jesus through his Spirit is going to impart this to us today. Jesus, we don't presume to know how to curate joy, probably because it can't be curated. It can only be received, imparted, given. And we come as ones needy today, and we ask you for your joy, the joy of the Lord. God, I pray for those who are in a deep pit right now. And I pray that your joy would sustain them like it sustained Daniel in that lion's den. When it looks like surely everything that they know is coming to an end, I pray that the joy of the Lord would somehow provide them nourishment and sustenance. God, I pray for those who are in a season of monotony, where it just seems like there's no end in sight, that life has lost its luster, its joy. God, I pray for an infusion to them. I pray that you would sustain them, that you would uplift them, that you would encourage them. And I pray for those, Lord, that are on the mountaintop right now who are experiencing great joy. I pray that they would remember from whom it came. I pray that you would fill all of our hearts this morning with gratitude and thanksgiving. Go ahead and just take a moment and thank the Lord for all the things that he has brought you through. Thank him for the ways that he is sustaining you right now. Thank you for your provision, Lord, for your protection, for this group of people, God, for this body, New Life Midtown. Lord, we thank you for your salvation, for your purification, for freeing us from sin, from freeing us from some of our fears, Lord. And we're praying that you would continue to free us and release us from the rest. And we ask that the joy of the Lord would be our strength. New Life Midtown, if you agree, say amen and give a hand clap to the Lord today. Amen. Thank you, Jillian and the worship team. We're going to transition now to responding in worship with our tithes and offerings. And here at New Life Midtown, we have a prayer that we like to pray to bring our heart into alignment so that we're not just giving, but we are giving as worship unto the Lord. So this prayer will be up on the screen if you would pray it aloud with me. Father, you are the abundant giver of all good things. Train us to delight in holy dependence. Lead us to honor you with all of our resources. Free us from the deceitfulness of greed and earthly riches. Teach us to give generously with open hands and joy-filled hearts, that we might receive abundantly and flourish for the sake of others and your purposes in the earth. Amen. Parents, now draw your children close, and before we release them to their classes, we bless them as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Children, you are dismissed to go to your classes with open hearts and open minds. New Life Midtown, let's take just a moment and greet each other in the name of the Lord, and we'll be back together in just a minute.
I'm Rachel Brown. I lead the kids ministry here at New Life Midtown, and I am so excited to give you a couple of announcements. So everyone turn on your listening ears. Just kidding, kids ministry, you know, I'm sorry. Anyways, our first announcement is really exciting. On April 7th, we're going to have water baptisms. If you want to get baptized or you're just curious to find out more about this, go to the Welcome Center and they can help you answer questions. Next is the men's breakfast. If you're a part of Midtown and you're a man, you are invited to this breakfast. It's going to be a great time. Saturday, March 23rd, you can sign up at the Welcome Center. I hope you like bacon because there's going to be a lot of it. Next up, Kids Camp is coming up June 24th through 27th. We are so excited to offer Kids Camp this year at New Life North. It's going to be a blast. This year is the Book of Jonah. You can sign up online. The registration is now open. And finally, we have our New Life Ministries care team with us today. If you are curious about what is offered for the care ministry, head out to the foyer and you'll find things like divorce care, grief share. There's a bunch of different areas where you can get plugged in. Resources for single moms, resources for widows. There's a bunch of different stuff. So head out to the foyer and see what the care ministries are offering. And if you would like to volunteer in care ministries, they'd be happy to answer some of those questions too. That's all for me, friends. Thanks so much for listening to the announcements today. I hope you have a great Sunday.
Thanks, Rach. We will. We hope you have a great Sunday up there too, wherever you are, doing whatever you do with our amazing kids. Good morning, church. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord today. And how many of you guys struggled a little bit with daylight savings? Anybody? Man, look at that. The Lord has a special reward for all of you. Man, I love fall daylight savings. Spring, it's another beast altogether, man. But grace on you, grace on you. It's so funny, I woke up this morning and I was particularly thinking about your children. For those of you who have little kids, and particularly those of you who have little kids, and you work so hard to get them on a system, you work so hard to get them on a routine, you work so hard to get them on a schedule, and then this thing called daylight savings comes along and just messes the whole thing up. So I've been praying grace and I've been praying peace on you as parents and on children and on our workers who are working with our kids who are all disoriented and disrupted this morning. So may the peace of the Lord be with all of our kids, our babies, our infants, our toddlers, our pre-K, and all of those who serve so graciously upstairs. I want to punctuate one announcement, and I want to make an announcement that was not given. The first announcement I want to punctuate is, men, this is an incredible time for you to get connected with other amazing, godly, strong men that are in this house. That breakfast is not next Saturday, but the Saturday after, and I want to encourage you guys to sign up. You can sign up online. You can sign up via our weekly e-blast, or you can sign up at the Welcome Center. By the way, if you are not receiving our weekly e-blasts, you can sign up for our weekly e-blast out here at the Welcome Center, and this is one of the best ways. In fact, it is the primary way that we communicate with you all of the things that are happening in our church outside of what's going on a Sunday morning. The second announcement I want to give is actually something that has not been given on the video announcement, and it is something that we have actually blasted out through our weekly email the past 2 weeks, but we have not made a verbal announcement, and here it is. New Life Church, and that is all 8 of our congregations, are participating and partnering with a national and global ministry called 24/7 Prayer. There's a global arm of that. There's also a national arm of that. And I'm actually the director of prayer for New Life at large. So if you're not aware of this, every Wednesday at 7:30 a.m. and at noon, we gather together in the World Prayer Center and we pray. We pray for our city. We pray for our churches. We pray for the wars that are happening around the world. We pray for the nations. We pray for our children. So this partnership that we have with 24/7 Prayer USA brings us into a year-long initiative where they're trying to launch a year of unbroken prayer. And what that looks like is there's 52 churches that adopt 1 week. And one of those churches for that week are committing to cover 24/7 prayer for that entire week. And so our week as New Life is coming up next week, beginning at 12:01 on Monday morning and going through the following midnight on Sunday. Does that make sense? And so the way that we're facilitating this and organizing this is that we're having people sign up for slots, 30-minute slots, hour-long slots, 10-hour slots, whatever it is. And you can sign, you can have access to that schedule through our weekly e-blast. Now, again, if you're not receiving that and you want to sign up, go to the Welcome Center, sign up for the weekly email, and tomorrow or Tuesday, we will send out another schedule where you can sign up for 24/7 prayer. It's actually been going really, really well. Oddly enough, like midnight through 5 o'clock, for some reason, is still really, really empty. And I don't know why. I don't know why that is. So anyways, I hope you guys can join us in that prayer initiative. It's going to be amazing. For those of you who are new with us today, I just want to personally welcome you. And I want to say thanks so much for joining us in our service today. I felt, as we were in worship, just this kind of spirit of intercession hit me. Typically, I really just try to lose myself in engaging in the heart of God, the presence of God during worship. But man, I just found myself really crying out for you. I found myself praying for every single one of you guys this morning. So I'm going to continue in that vein. I'm going to pray real quick, and then we're going to jump into the Word, and we're going to continue our series in the book of John. So if you wouldn't mind joining me in prayer this morning. Father, we have this holy anticipation in our spirit this morning. God, that there is something that you are doing in every one of our lives, that you are at work. And Lord, I want to say yes to that. I want to agree with the work that you are doing in every single one of our lives. And Father, I pray today that your Holy Spirit, would be strong, that your Holy Spirit would hover over every single one of us in a fresh way today, in a peculiar way, in a unique way. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would bring revelation of the goodness of God, that you would peel away every veil, and that you would peel away every blinder, every obstruction, every layer that is distorting our ability to see God rightly today. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would reveal Jesus, who is the one who reveals the Father. I pray today that you would call us deeper into fellowship and intimacy and sonship and daughterhood with the living God. Lord, I pray today that you would heal hearts that have been broken, that you would heal hearts that have been abused, that have been wounded, that have been disappointed, that have been betrayed. Lord, I pray that you would heal minds that are afflicted right now with tormenting thoughts and, God, temptations that seem like they're too much for us to bear. God, I pray that you would heal our minds. I pray, God, that you would renew our minds by the preaching and teaching and meditation of the Word of God. And Holy Spirit, today I pray you bring freedom into this house. Lord, I pray that for some of us, God, who are fighting demons and wrestling with yokes of addiction and bondage, God, I pray that you would come in, that you would break in and break through, and that you would bring freedom. Lord, I pray that we would begin to love the things of God more than we love the things of the flesh, more than we love our sin. God, I pray that we would love our freedom and that we would love the joy of the Lord that is available for every single one of us. Lord, I pray that our roots today would go down deep in the Word of God and in faith and in your Spirit. And I pray that you would awaken us today by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Come on, if you agree with that, shout amen today. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 14. We've been in a series in the Gospel of John, and it has been riveting, in my opinion. Of course, I've been preaching it, so, you know, I better believe it's good, or you guys should all go somewhere else if I don't believe what I'm selling, right? Ha, 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 guys, lighten up a little bit. Thank you. All right, John chapter 14. Here's what I want to do. This is a little bit of a standalone message within the Gospel of John, because if you've been tracking with us, we've been like taking pretty much a chapter a week. And a couple of weeks ago, I delved into chapter 10, so I skipped over 7, 8, and 9. I just went straight to 10. And then we had a guest speaker in last week who hit chapter 11. But really just referenced chapter 11 as a launching pad to talk about a larger subject of friendship with God. How many of you were here last week? How many of you guys, don't raise your hand on this, but how many of you guys were touched and impacted by that? Yeah, I mean, that really was a game changer. The idea that God wants to relate to every single one of us, not so much from a hierarchy, not so much as someone who dominates or lords over us. That's not the heart of God. The heart of God is to grow and mature every single one of us to the point and to the place that he's interacting and relating to us. And Chris said it like this, as equals. Now, we will never be equal with God, right? We need to understand that. Ontologically, which just means the very nature of our being, means that we will never be God. There is only one God, right? But he wants to relate, he wants to bring us up to a place where he relates to us as friends. That is his heart towards every single one of us. What I love about this is it actually, you know, there's this approach to movies nowadays where, like, they release this amazing movie and then they realize maybe we should tell everybody what the prequel or the backstory of this movie is. What I love about what Dr. Chris did last week is it sets up really well the prequel for this, because if I were preaching this, I would talk with you about the fact that the foundation of friendship is sonship. I'll say this again. The foundation of friendship with God is seeing God rightly as a good father. We cannot skip the foundation of our sonship and daughterhood in God and try to bypass that and go directly into friendship with God. Here's an analogy for those of you who have parents, or not parents, for those of you who have kids, for those of you parents who have kids, and for those of you who have grandkids. There is a day, and I'm experiencing glimpses of this with my two teenage children right now. There is a day when my children will grow into a place where our primary way of reacting or relating will be as friends. But we're not there yet right now. We're touching that. We're experiencing some of that. But if I bypass a season of 16 years of establishing healthy relating and fathering and mothering my children so that they're deeply rooted in a foundation of what it means to be a good son and a good daughter and relate to us in that way, the friendship will be tainted. The friendship will be broken. The friendship will be unwhole. In fact, some of you parents can relate to this, that when our kids don't have maturity as sons and daughters, and they want to try to relate to us as friends before relating to us as sons and daughters, it kind of rubs something inside of us. Am I right? Am I just talking to myself? You can talk about, you need to help me a little bit this morning, okay? Maybe I'm just alone. I got issues I got to work out myself. Thank you, right? So there's this elements of honor and humility and grace and gratitude that are established in sons and daughters that actually enable them to relate better as friends when that time and season comes. So with all that being said, I want to talk with you this morning about one of my absolute favorite subjects, and that is our beloved identity as sons and daughters that are rooted in the Father heart of God. All right, so here's how we're going to start this. John chapter 14, verse 7. The backstory here, for those of you who are not too familiar with this, is Jesus is about hours away from laying down his life as a sacrifice for the sins of humanity. He's about to be crucified. And he's having dinner with his disciples, and he goes into this teaching segment, and it's one of the longest segments of teaching that's recorded in all the Gospels. And the way that I like to look at this is on the eve of Jesus about to die, he is sharing with his disciples some of the most important things that they need to hear that are going to set them up for success after the crucifixion and the resurrection. And so he goes into sharing this in John chapter 14. Look with me if you would. Verse 7 says, "If you really know me, then you will know my Father as well. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well." And then he says to them, now keep in mind, Jesus has been walking with his disciples for about three and a half years, and he has been in one of the most intensive internships that's been known to man. He's been living with them. They've been living with him. They've been traveling together. They've been doing full-time ministry. He has been teaching them nonstop. And then he says to them, guys, if you know me, you know who God is. You know who the Father is. He says, from now on, you do know him. And you have seen him. And then one of his disciples pipes up, and I understand this. I empathize with this. Verse 8 says, Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Now, in the heart of every human being is desire to know who God is. We may not be able to articulate that. We may not be conscious of that. But throughout all of history, there is this eternal quest to know who this God is that created us. God put that inside of every single one of us. It's like a honing beacon that draws us back to him. And we may look in false vines to try to discover who God is. We may look at humanism or human intellectualism. We may look at mysticism or supernatural powers or spiritualism. But all of that comes from this desire deep inside of us to know, who is this God? And that's why Philip says this. He says, "Jesus, just show us the Father already. Just be clear. Just be plain about this. Just tell us who he is." And look at Jesus' response. It's so peculiar. Jesus says in verse 9, he says, "Don't you know me, Philip? Now remember, look, verse 8, Philip says, show us the Father. And Jesus' immediate response is, don't you know me? No, I said, show us the Father. Don't you know me? Show us the Father. Don't you know me? There's a connection here. And the connection very simply is this. Out of all of the things that Jesus came to do, and he came to do a lot, Jesus tells us that the Son came to give life and to give life more abundantly. Luke 19 tells us that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Matthew 28 tells us that the Son of Man came to serve and to lay his life down as a ransom for many. 1 John tells us that the Son of Man came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to do a lot of things, and he did all of them. But one of the kind of subtle things that Jesus came to do is he came to reveal to us who the Father is. He came to reveal to us the character and the unchanging nature and the goodness and the kindness and the tenderness of who the Father is. And that's why Jesus' response, though it sounds peculiar, it makes sense when you understand his greater mission, and that is to reveal who the heart of the Father is. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been with you for so long. Now listen, this wasn't a condescending statement. Jesus is essentially saying, Philip, everything that I have done while I've been with you has been revealing the Father. Everything that I have spoken, every word that I have taught has been revealing the Father. Another way of saying this is, Philip, nothing that I've ever done and nothing that I've ever said, not one thing, has been out of alignment or inconsistent with who God the Father is. Don't you know me, Philip, after I've been with you for such a long time? Look at the remainder of that verse in verse 9. I want to read the latter part of that. He says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say then, show us the Father? Everything that I have done has been showing you the Father. Throughout the New Testament writings, there are a number of different things that punctuate this idea that Jesus' mission was to reveal the heart and the nature of God to humanity. Hebrews chapter 1 says it like this. The Son is the radiance, the brilliance, the brightness of God's glory. And Jesus the Son is the exact representation of his being. Listen to that phrase. This is beautiful. The exact representation of his being. Some translations say it like this. Jesus is the perfect imprint of the essence of God. Again, there is no inconsistency in who Jesus is. So I want you to think about all the things that we love about Jesus, because if we're not careful, sometimes we can get into this idea, and it's subtle the way it slips in, that there is incongruence or inconsistency or distance between who Jesus is and between who God the Father is. And it can create this question inside of us that there's an angry God of the Old Testament, but there's a good Jesus in the New Testament. And friends, what I want to propose to you today, and I don't want to get too deep into this theologically, but we have to look at everything that we see in the Old Testament, even the things that we don't understand that seem to be inconsistent in the character of God. We have to look at the God of the Old Testament through the lens of who Jesus is in the New Testament, and will be able to see what God has done more appropriately and more clearly. Jesus is the exact representation, the perfect imprint of the essence of who God is. So when we see Jesus healing the sick, who's healing the sick? God the Father. And why is God healing the sick? Because God loves to heal the sick. When we see Jesus paying attention to people that seem to be ostracized socially, who's pressing into people that are on the margins of society? God the Father. And why? Because God loves his people and he's a good father. When we see Jesus being patient with people in their process, When we see Jesus delivering people that are bound and afflicted by yokes of addiction and demonic oppression, who's doing that? It's the Father. Why? Because he's a good Father and because he loves his people. You see, one of the most important things, and guys, listen, we can never really graduate from this. One of the dangerous things about teaching sonship and the Father's love now for about 16 years is that for those of us who've grown up here in this house underneath my leadership in this message, is that we can almost tune this out and go, oh yeah, I've been here and I know this. Friends, listen, you can never graduate beyond your revelation of the Father's love and your beloved identity. It is the cornerstone of everything in your Christian life. Everything flows out of you seeing God rightly and appropriately as a good Father. This is why last week's message was so revolutionary for some of us. We're like, you mean to tell me that the holy God, the sovereign God, the all-powerful God, the just God, the God who's way up there transcendentally, you mean that God wants to relate to me as a friend? This is mind-bending, and here's why. It's mind-bending because there are elements of the foundation of our sonship that still have not been fully formed. God wants to relate to you as a friend because every good parent's job is to mature their children into the fullness of who they were created to be. And when that happens, you can relate to your children as equals. A.W. Tozer said it like this. The thing that you believe to be true about God is the most important thing about you. It's the most important thing. And so many of us have grown up in religious circles where we see God as angry, we see God as impatient, we see God as frustrated with us. We see a picture of a God folding his arms, shaking his head, going, why can't you just get this? Why can't you get things together? Listen, that is not the God that Jesus came to reveal. In fact, while we were in worship and while I was intercession over you today, this is exactly what I sensed by the Spirit of God. I believe it's the Lord. I want to submit it to you. But I feel like the Lord said, share this with my people. I am deeply pleased with them. I am not in a hurry. I'm not in a hurry. You are further along than you think you are. Most of us get so frustrated with ourselves and so condemned and so ashamed and so aggravated because we don't feel like we're where we should be, and we feel like God is frustrated with our pace of growth in the journey. Friends, he's not frustrated with where you are. He's not frustrated. He loves you, and he's patient with where you are, and he's for you, and he believes in you because he's a good father, and you are beloved sons and daughters in the Lord. So one of the ways that we discover who God is as a father is by watching the Son. We learn who the Father is by watching the Son. Look with me in John chapter 5, verse 19. This is Jesus' response after he heals the man at the pool that we talked about a few weeks ago. Here's a man who's been experiencing chronic pain and chronic suffering, chronic immobility for 38 years of his life. Figuratively, some of you may feel like you've experienced chronic immobility for 38 years of your life. Why can't I be over this yet? Why can't I be free yet? Why am I still struggling with this? Friends, receive the grace and the kindness of God. He's not frustrated with you. And then Jesus says this when he's being checked, like he's got these Pharisees that are coming hard at him. And here's what he says to them in John 5, 19. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. What is Jesus saying here? One of the things that Jesus is saying is that because I'm abiding in the vine, because I'm abiding in unbroken communion and intimacy and fellowship with the heart of God, nothing I say and nothing that I do is out of character or inconsistent with who God is. That's one of the things that Jesus is saying. And one of the things he's revealing in that is that this is the pattern of how you and I can and should relate to God, that this is the model for what Christian life is, that we look to the Father through the Son by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll say that one more time. We look to the Father through the Son by the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you and me that give us the ability to see God rightly. It's the Holy Spirit that is inside you and me that gives us the true revelation of the true character and the nature of God. You and I cannot see God accurately without the Holy Spirit. In fact, I want you to just think about this. Jesus has spent 3.5 years with these guys. He's been around them constantly. And at the end of those 3.5 years, they still don't know who he is. Why is that? Because they don't have the Holy Spirit. It just goes to show that you can be around God. You can be around the things of God. You can be around the teaching of God. You can be around the presence of God. You can be around the songs of God, the table of God, the people of God. You can grow up in church your entire life and still not know who God is because you don't have the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals Jesus, who is the one who reveals the Father. There is no inconsistency and incongruity between Jesus and the Father. The way you understand who the Father is by watching the Son. The way you understand who the Father is by watching the Son. Watch how the Father and the Son relate. Let me make this super practical. Watch how the Father treats the Son and how the Son responds to the Father and go, this is an invitation of what everything in my life in God could be. Right? That's how it comes, by watching the relationship that the Father and the Son experience together. Go with me to John chapter 1, verse 12. A couple of things I want to show you about the heart and the nature of God. The Father gives authority to his children. The Father gives authority to his children. John chapter 1, verse 12, Jesus says this, "Yet to all who received him, to all who believed in his name." So this is a qualifying statement. In other words, Jesus is saying that the way that we receive God, the way that we receive the goodness of God is through faith, is by belief. Yet to all who received him, to all who believed, there is this connection between believing and receiving. The way you receive what is available for you in God is by faith, is by believing. Lord, I believe. This morning as I was waking up, I was just spending a little time there in a quiet place, and I was saying, Lord, I receive. Everything that you have available for me today, I receive. I receive your peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I receive your love that is without condition, that is completely and totally perfect. Lord, I receive that. Lord, I receive my beloved identity as a son today. I receive energy and strength. I receive vitality and joy, friends. And I was able to pray that because I believe Jesus is who he says he is. And because I believe Jesus is who he says he is, I can believe the Father is who Jesus came to reveal. Follow me. And because I believe the Father is who he says he is, I can believe that I am who he says I am because he is who he says he is. This is how the whole thing works. But the fundamental breakdown of all of this is when we don't see God the Father rightly, we can never see ourselves rightly. And if we can't see ourselves rightly, we can never relate to one another appropriately. I will always see you as my competition. I will always see you as a threat. I will always be suspicious with you. I will always see you or anybody else as somebody that I need to control, or somebody that I need to dominate, or somebody that I need to manipulate. Why? Because I find this crooked sense of validation and value and identity and authority by controlling the people around me when I'm not totally at home in who God has created me to be as a beloved son. Your relational fractures and breakdowns, they'll clean up when you begin to see God rightly as a father who loves you without condition, and you see yourself as a beloved son or a daughter who does not have to perform. You don't have to perform. You don't have to take stones and turn them into bread to show that you're a good son. I'm using an analogy there. You don't have to read your Bible every day to show that you're a great daughter. You just simply have to go, I believe that you're a great father, and if you call me a beloved daughter, I choose to believe it and walk in that. Walk in that. Walk in the fullness of the revelation. Now, practically, let me just show you practically, because we're so entrenched in orphan mentalities. We're so entrenched in slave and servant mindsets. The way that you disentangle your mindset from that is just by meditating on the truth of who God is and who He says you are, to the point that it begins to disassociate your mindset from those things that you insidiously believe and you don't even realize you believe them, and you're walking out of orphan habits. You're walking out of servant and slave habits because they're so deeply ingrained in us. But man, when you begin to renew your mind and the unchanging character of a good father who calls us beloved sons and daughters, who don't have to perform or prove, before you know it, you begin to live with greater confidence, greater security, greater joy, and greater freedom. John chapter 1, verse 12 again, Jesus says this, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right." This is an interesting word here. And honestly, I don't think it's really in the NIV, I would translate it differently, because the word here is called exousia. Exousia. I'm not trying to flex here, but it's an important word because the word here is actually authority. It's where we get the word execute. You can hear it. Exousia, execute, executive. An executive executes power because he or she has the legal permission, which is called authority, to make those decisions. Are you tracking? So listen to what Jesus is saying, that to all who receive who Jesus is and to all who believe that the kind of life that you experience in God is the kind of life that you're inviting me into, I believe that. That the Father that you've come to reveal is the Father that is calling me into his family, I believe that. That the kind of relationship that you're experiencing in the heart of God is available to me, I believe that. This is what he says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them now the authority to become children of God." Do you realize that as a son or a daughter of God, you have authority? You have authority. You have the legal permission in the family of God to execute resources and power that has been made available to you. Here's another way of saying this. You are no longer a pawn or a prey to the enemy. You know why that is? Because you've been given authority in the family as a son and daughter. And as you mature, your authority increases. As you grow, your maturity dictates your authority. All right, let's keep going here. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, we're going to lean in this idea that the Father gives authority. Romans 8, 14, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you a slave." The Spirit you received. We just read in John chapter 1, verse 12, that to all who received, to those who believed in his name. If you believed in the name of Jesus, if you believe that he is who he says he is, that he did what he said that he has come to do, then you received a spirit. And here's what the scripture tells us. You did not receive a spirit of slavery. You did not receive a spirit that makes you afraid. In fact, one of the ways that you can kind of do a litmus test on your revelation of the father heart and your revelation of sonship and daughterhood is pay attention to the fears that are rising up inside of you. So many of us have been taught, I have been taught, that when you experience fear, you've got to fight fear with faith. It's actually not true, because the scripture tells us that the love of God will displace fear. So actually what we need is we need a revelation of the Father's love. Wherever there's fear inside of me, fear to be honest with God, fear to be vulnerable with God, fear to be in community with my brothers and my sisters, do you know what I'm lacking? I'm lacking a revelation of the Father's love and my beloved identity as a son. And this is what causes us to be insecure and be suspicious and be controlling and be manipulative, because we are not fully anchored in ourselves in a revelation that no matter what happens, man, the Father is crazy about me. The Father loves me so deeply, and that is what holds me, and that is what enables me to be vulnerable without fear appropriately. That is what enables me to say, God, I messed up. That is what enables me to be patient with myself, which then enables me to be patient with my brother and with my sister. It all comes down to a revelation of who God is. And when we receive that from God, see, this is what Jesus was saying. When he says that I only do those things that I see the Father doing, here's a way that we could translate this. You can only give what you have received. You can only be for the world what you have experienced, right? That's where your authority comes from. Your authority in the world comes from the authenticity of what you have received from God. Are we together today? Okay. So when you receive the kindness of God, this enables you to be kind to one another. When you receive how patient God is with you, this enables you. You take that, you internalize that, you receive that, you think deeply about that, you enjoy that, you're humbled by it, you're grateful for it, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, over the course of time, when you have people that are in your life, coworkers, friends, loud neighbors, kids that are not sleeping at night, whatever that might be, all of a sudden you begin thinking, man, this is how God treated me when I was being that way, and now I can extend patience to those people that are around me, and on and on and on it goes. Are you locked up in bitterness? Are you locked up in unforgiveness? Friend, you need to receive the forgiveness of God. You need to receive the mercy of God, which is available for you in abundance. It is so simple. It is, Lord, I receive. I receive your forgiveness. And then when you're like washed over in the waters of the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of God, then when somebody offends you or violates you or abuses you or harms you, maybe not immediately, but over the course of time, your response towards them will be what God's response is towards you, because you cannot give what you've not received. This is the Christian life. Everything that I have tasted in God is my reservoir. It's my ammunition. It's my pool. It's what I draw from. So if we distance ourselves somehow from experiencing the reality of what God has for us, we have nothing to draw from. We only have concepts. We only have mental assent or ideas. And that's why a lot of us, our Christian life, it's stagnant, it's broken, it's dysfunctional. Because we can talk about forgiveness, but we're still angry. Why? Because you've not slowed down long enough to say, God, I want to drink. I want to choose. I want to dare to believe. And I want to receive fully and abundantly. Like, listen, I need you guys to start thinking about what's available for you in God like a big old buffet. A couple of weeks ago when I bailed out on a Sunday morning, some of you guys are like, where were you? I was like, man, I was taking a weekend with my family. And I woke up and I said, I want to go to a Sunday morning buffet brunch. Because I never get to go to a Sunday morning buffet brunch, and I'm not bitter about that. I just wanted to go to a Sunday morning, but now I spent way too much money for a glorified omelet and a shaving of prime rib, and I was like, that was a really dumb decision. Wasn't worth it. But that being said, man, I took the kids up north. We came into this place, and I said, kids, listen, This is buffet style. So not only can you eat whatever you want, I need you to eat a lot of it. And man, you just see their eyes light up. They're like confused. They're like, wait a minute here. Is this a trap? I'm like, no, this is no trap. Friends, this is called all you can eat, right? So I need you to eat all you can eat so I can get my money's worth, right? It's really about me, not about you. So man, my kids are going back and man, they're coming back. Man, Kenya had a plate that was like a mountain. Gravy and biscuits and muffins and donuts. And I was like, dude, sweet. He's like, this is okay, but bro, do it again. Bottomless mimosas, let's roll, come on. Now imagine we rolled up in there, I paid all my money and had the kids sit down at the table and they're just like eyeballing everything that's over at that buffet. And I'm like, it looks good, don't it? Yeah, man, I paid for that. And I just said, but man, you can't touch any of it. Just look at it. Just look at it. Just imagine what that must be like. Man, they're just watching everybody else loading up their plates. I'm like, no, you can't touch that. But yet you're so close to it. That's what a lot of us live our Christian lives like. Like there is so much that is available in God. You know why? Because he's a good father and you're a beloved son and you're a beloved daughter and he's got more than enough. When we say, Lord, give us this day, you know what we're saying? We're saying go to the buffet line, right, and receive mercy. Receive it. And don't be chinchy about that. I'm just going to get a little mercy today. Right? You ain't impressing nobody. Man, load up on that mercy. Right? Pour mercy gravy over everything in your day. Grace. Joy. Jonathan asked this great question today as we were getting together to pray for the service. He says, what do you need from God? What are you asking God for? And then he said this question that I've never thought about. He said, what do you think God is hoping that you'll ask him for? Moms and dads, you know what this is like. When there are things inside of you that are like, man, I just wish that you would ask me for this. Had you only asked me, had you only come to me, son. Man, I have so much that's available to give to you. Wisdom and strength and comfort and support and encouragement and provision and guidance. Had you only come to me. And this is what the Father is saying. All of this is available for you. Do you guys remember this story in Luke chapter 15? There's two sons. I'll do a quick overview for those who aren't familiar, but Jesus is telling this story, and we're going to do this, and we're going to come to the table. Jesus is telling this story about two sons, and one of the, apparently the father has an inheritance for them. And so the younger son comes, he says, give me everything that you have for me. I want it now before you die, which was essentially like saying, your good is dead to me. He takes everything that was apportioned to him and he goes and he blows it. Most of us know this story. And then he comes to his senses and he's like, man, I really screwed this up. So I'm going to go back to the father because my father's hired hands, his servants, living in his home are eating better. They're more comfortable. They're experiencing more grace and comfort than I'm experiencing in my own life right now. So I'm just going to go back and I'm going to lower my status and position. And I'm going to say, go ahead and treat me like one of your servants so that I can have access to all those things your servants have. His mind is blown. He comes back. The father treats him not like a servant. Watch this. Treats him like a son, which tells me that even when we act like servants, that even when we think that we're servants, that even when we treat the Father like he is a master over servants, he always treats us like a son or a daughter. That is his disposition towards you. So they're having this massive party, and then the older brother, he's having his own party. Wait for it. Man, y'all didn't get it. It's a pity party, right? He's having his own party. He's pouting in his room. Door shut. He's got his noise-canceling Beats on. Man, turn your music off. This is my parenting coming out right now. Y'all know what stage of life I'm in. Goes to the older brother, goes to the older son. He says, man, what's going on? This is what the older brother says in Luke chapter 15, verse 30 and 31. Here's what he says. He's like, man, that weasel went and spent everything. And man, I've been here. I've been good. I've been the good one. I've been the good one. I read my Bible every day. I went to church every week. I tithe. And none of this was available for me. Listen to the mindset. You're still in the house living like an orphan, living like a servant, living like a slave. You can be so close. God, I need you to hear this. You can be so close. You can be around the Father and never know who the Father is. You can sing songs to the Father and never know the heart of the Father towards you. You can be in the house. There's joy in the house. You could be in the house. What does the Father say? He says, son, everything I've ever had, everything I've ever had, it was always here for you. Do you know what the access is to the pantry? It's sonship. Do you know what the code is? It's daughterhood. It's knowing deep down in your guts the Father's good. And he's always good. And he's always kind. And even when he disciplines me, he's kind. And he's tender. And he's gracious. And he's for me. And he loves me. And no matter how many times I botch it up, no matter if I'm indifferent, no matter if I'm cruel, vindictive, vengeance, doesn't matter if I'm like the Father's heart towards me, it is always in the disposition of love and kindness and mercy and tenderness and forgiveness. And what religion wants to do, religion wants to bind our mind and our heart up to tell us that we have to earn his kindness and we have to earn his goodness. And if I'm good enough and if I just go long enough and if I'm sober long enough and if I don't lose my temper long enough, then I can earn. And that is not Christianity. That is not the gospel. And that is the very kind of God that Jesus came to overthrow. You've got to hear this. That is the very version and vision and image of God. That's why Jesus came. To undo that vision of who God is. That's not who God is. That's what Jesus was coming to say. That's not who the Father is. Father's heart towards you always, at all times, is I'm for you. And I'm with you, and I love you, and I forgive you, and come closer to my heart, and let's talk about this, and let's figure this out, and let's walk this through, and you fell down, and I'm going to pick you back up, and I'm going to clean you off, and I'm not angry with you. That's the heart of our God. That is who your Father is, church. Will you stand with me this morning? Some of you are like, why are you yelling at us if he's so good? Yo, I'm just trying to tell you, man, I have been wrecked and ruined and captivated and gripped by the overwhelming reality that this is who the Father is, revealed in Jesus. And he is dying for you to know that God. That God. Now, would you just, for a moment, just take a moment and just by the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, help me here. Let the Holy Spirit just minister to your heart. Connect dots. I want to invite the ministers of our table to come forward to administer the body and the blood of Jesus. Beloved, as you sit in the presence of the Lord, I want to read this over you. I want to invite you just to listen by the ear of your spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you through this. This is in John 8, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth of who the Father is, And that truth will set you free. You will know the truth of who you are as a beloved son and a beloved daughter. And that truth is the key to your freedom. You cannot be free by doing more stuff outside of the revelation of the goodness and love of God and who you are as a beloved one. It is impossible. Verse 34, Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son and a daughter belong to it forever." Can't be taken away. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. In the name of Jesus, may the freedom that comes from a revelation of the Father's love and our beloved identity as sons and daughters, may it set us free. May it set us free from addiction. May it set us free from anorexia. May it set us free from alcoholism, shame, anger, violence, self-harm. May it set us free from manipulation and striving. Lord, set us free today by a revelation of the Father's love revealed in Jesus. Amen. Beloved, I want to invite you to the table of the Lord. We experience this physically and practically. You can come and receive the body of Christ, the blood shed for you. We'll take it all together. You may come.
Truth and the lie.
on the night when Jesus was betrayed, as he was sitting with his friends, he took bread and he broke it. You may break this in your hands. He said to them, "Beloved, this is my body, which is broken for you, that you would be restored into your position and identity and intimacy as sons and daughters." Let us receive the body of Christ. And then he took the cup and he says, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." Friend, Jesus has already done everything that needs to be done for you to experience forgiveness and mercy and joy. There's nothing else you have to do but to believe it and to receive it. So today, Jesus, we believe that your blood is enough, and we receive it today by faith. Let us receive the cup. Friends, this is who you are because this is who God is. Amen? Your beloved ones, let's sing a song of thanksgiving to the Lord before we're out. Friends, would you open up your hands real wide so I can bless you as we're sent out of this place? Beloved ones, may the Lord today, the good Father, may he bless you and may he keep you. May he be so gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you, shine upon you with his bright, smiling face. May you experience the favor and the affection of God as you leave this place. And may he fill you with peace. From the top of your head to the sole of your feet and everything you touch. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Friends, if we can pray for you in any way, we have ministers of prayer to come up here. Receive prayer today. Don't forget to sign up for 24/7 prayer, the men's breakfast at the Welcome Center. We'll see you guys next week. Love you so much.